Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Next interview today is with Cassie Brider, author and speaker. So let's jump back in. Here's the intro. Again, we're going to wait for Cassie to join in. So here is Cassie's bio. Cassie Brider is your typical suburban mom. Well, your typical transgender, pansexual, polyamorous, sex-positive suburban mom. She is the web mistress for sexpositiveworld.com and the leader of Sex Geekdom Los Angeles, runs an annual digital conference for trans women called Empowered Trans Woman Summit, and gives classes on gender diversity and sexual consent around LA and Ventura County. She's just launched a YouTube channel, and she's always on Facebook. Cassie is a top writer on Medium.com on feminism, diversity, and LGBTQ issues. So here we go, Cassie. Here she is joining us now. Excited forgive me if you've heard this before, wink wink. So Cassie and I have collaborated a bunch of times, actually, at different panel events, workshops, in the book. She's in, you know, the book, The Consent Guidebook. Yay, here it is, here's the cover, woo! And she's really great. She always has amazing things to say and add to the conversation, so I'm super excited that she agreed to be a part of this book. I'm going to read Cassie's quote while we're waiting for her to join in. So here we go. This is Cassie's quote. It's on page 133 of The Consent Guidebook. Here we go. Hopefully America is living through a fundamental culture shift, a shift away from sex as conquest, seduction as salesmanship, and male entitlement as a grin and bear it reality. A shift towards sex as an honest, collaborative celebration, towards seduction as a playful, mutual ritual dance. If we're really lucky, we'll see the next generation develop mating rituals based on an assumption of agency and autonomy on both sides, based on an embracing of our sexual selves as something to be cherished and joyful rather than something dangerous and shameful. I believe we're witnessing the grotesque dying throes of conquest culture. I believe we're witnessing the rise of the sexually empowered woman. I already did the intro. I read your quote in the book, which is so great, Cassie. There's so many great things you share in here. And, you know, I just want to really quick touch on what you're saying of the grin and bear it reality of consent. You know, that really resonates with me. I think that a lot of times there is this thing of, oh, let's be polite, don't ruffle feathers.
So I'd like to address that specific point. And what I meant by the grin and bear it reality of male entitlement in relation to consent is the fact that we come to consent, we come to conversations of consent with a major power imbalance. We come to the conversation with this understanding that there will be a difference of dynamic in the way that men approach the space and the way that women approach the space. And I'm speaking in binary terms because I think that on the mainstream, this is a binary problem. But of course, there's nuances with queer folk. But what I'm trying to say is that consent between peers is one thing. But consent between two people in different power structures is completely different. It's different if you and I are interacting at the same level, but if you're my employer, or if you're the principal of a school, or if you're the administrator of a group and I'm just a member, there will be a power structure imbalance. And I feel that in this society, men come in with more power than women in this space, and because of that, sometimes they don't realize that they're violating consent. Sometimes they don't ask for consent in a way that it can be answered.
Yeah. No, those are all good points, Cassie, especially in the workplace. And, you know, I touch on that a little bit in the book, the specific workplace dynamic and the hierarchy of all of that. It is really, you know, I do know a lot of people do meet at work. A lot of people have met their spouses at work. You know, whether they were college, which is a little different than, you know, dating your boss or marrying your boss later in life or later in, you know. But I think it is nuanced in some ways. But to cover your bases, it's probably good if you don't date somebody in the workplace or stay away from flirtatious things in the workplace or saying suggestive things or those kind of things in a workplace environment. And again, all of these things are just to protect yourself. If anything, to respect others, but also to protect yourself.
But just to clarify, I was referring to the workplace simply as one example of many where the power is not even. This happens on a date too. On a date, you might have a situation where the woman just doesn't feel safe and doesn't feel like there's a peer one-to-one relationship. And if the man doesn't pick up on that, then he might not realize that he's not getting enthusiastic consent. In some of the examples that we've seen in our culture, the guy was trying to be, and I've seen this play out in Sex Positive LA and in other groups I belong to, where the guy is trying to check for consent, but the way that consent would play out in his universe is different from the way it plays out in my universe or in some other gal's universe.
Yeah. Like, I think I like what you're saying. It sounds like what I'm hearing is sometimes there's not a meeting of the minds. There's not a meeting of the minds in terms of what this means for me, what this means for someone else, and the end goal and how you're going to receive it or how it lands on somebody. And how can there be if there is a power differential? If there's a power differential at play, then things aren't equal just by nature of there being a power imbalance at the get-go, right? I want to move on, though. Why do you think that in general, why do you think consent, the concept of consent is difficult for some to grasp? Because it is a very new concept for a lot of people. This is the first time some people are hearing about consent in the last, because of some major things in the news, this is the first time a lot of people have heard about consent. So there is a learning curve. What do you think about it being there being a learning curve with consent?
I personally think that consent culture is a paradigm shift. And I always like to point out that when people talk about the dichotomy of consent culture versus rape culture, I think that's a bad example because nobody in the room is going to go, yay, rape. But I think that there is a culture in place, which is courtship, romance, salesmanship, pursuit, wooing, and a whole bunch of constructs, which we're, I think, trying to move away from, and we're trying to get to a collaborative space where the emotional labor of making romance happen doesn't just fall on the pursuer, but the emotional labor of creating the moment falls on both people consensually and collaboratively. And it's a paradigm shift. It's not a tack-on. It's not a plug-in. One example that I can think of, I think in really weird analogies, forgive me for that.
No, I love them.
I remember at one point when I was very, very young, we started getting, and this will date me, of course, but we started getting wind of the fact that color TV might become a reality. And I remember my older brother explaining to me how color TV is just an absolute impossibility and it'll never happen. And he was wrong, of course, which much to my delight, because I loved when he was wrong. But the reason why he was wrong is because he was thinking in terms of how you could incorporate color to a black and white TV, and you cannot. But if you bring in a whole new different technology, you can. And that's kind of, I think, why it's so difficult for people to understand a culture of consent, because they're trying to tack it on to an existing construct. And I think that they have to throw away a whole bunch of their existing paradigms before they can arrive at the idea of, oh, we will do this together. We will both throw away the first base, second base, third base, throw away the fact that she's going to be playing hard to get, and the fact that he's going to try to follow a script and all of that garbage, and just start over with the idea that two people are going to arrive together and enthusiastically build a moment, and that it's up for both of them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so many great things you just said there. Specifically enthusiastic consent. I've had a lot of conversations with people, and during we had a workshop, Dating in the Era of Me Too, a couple months ago that Cassie organized, and somebody in the audience said, you know, I've been out with a lot of people who don't want to have a consent conversation before we go out or before we engage in intimate stuff. And so there are different things. There is no one way that everyone is. But even if it's that, there needs to be a meeting of the minds and enthusiasm in terms of what you're choosing to do together. Rather than, here's the thing I want to do. I'm going to put this thing on you. And if you're not on board, then you're wrong for that. Like, that is done. I'm with you. It's a paradigm shift. It's like an unlearning and a new learning of this new concept of consent. And I do think we're going to get it. Like, I was just saying to Dr. Donna earlier in an interview, I was like, the kids get it, the kids. Even if they're still, like, trying to understand it and they're not perfect with it, the kids get it, because I think for a lot of their lives, they have heard the word consent and they have been learning it from a younger age, whereas my generation and older, it's totally new in a lot of ways for us. So,
well, it is if we look at it as if we segmentize and compartmentalize things in our mind, it's new, but actually there is material to draw from. One example that I gave to a man I recently encountered is because he was saying, you're in a date, the woman is naked, what are you supposed to think? And to that, what I answered was, suppose you go to a friend's house and you run into the kitchen and there's this beautiful cake in the kitchen, or there's a plate of brownies or whatever it is that the sumptuous thing is on top of the kitchen table. What are you supposed to think? Well, what you're supposed to think is that that might or might not be for you to grab, and that you have to ask. And if you know that about the cake and the cookies and the brownies when you're 9 or 10, why wouldn't you know that that's for thee with the woman in the room? So we do have translatable skills, really.
Yeah, P.S., your analogies are so good. Like, really, you're so good. Because you know what? It really helps illustrate what we're trying to talk about. Because I think sometimes a lot of buzzwords get thrown into this conversation. But when you boil it down to that, to like brownies, you in someone's house, someone made these brownies. Are they for you? You don't know. You don't just grab one. It's literally that simple. So running out of time. So in conclusion, what is a fun message about consent that you can relate to the audience, or a final thought about consent you'd like to leave us with today?
Well, one thing that I think is really wonderful is just to introduce the concept instead of assuming that other people know. So it's really good on a date or in any kind of situation where you're interacting with other people to tell them, hey, there's something quirky about me, which is I espouse consent culture, like explicit consent culture, and I'm going to be asking you, and I'm going to expect you to ask me.
So good. I think we might have lost Cassie again, unfortunately. I was going to wrap it up anyway. Cassie's really great. Find Cassie on Facebook. It's Cassie Breiter, CassieBrighter. And so that's where you can find Cassie, is CassieBrighter.com. There will be more interviews. I know. Oh, no, it's true. I know, technology. But we got her for a good 10, 15 minutes, which is what I wanted. So mission accomplished. Stay tuned. We'll have more interviews coming up. Thanks for watching, everybody. The book, Consent Guidebook, it's available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, AuthorHouse.com, Google Books, all the things. Check it out. Website is theconsentguidebook.com. I will see you all later with more fun interviews with more consent experts and contributors. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.